Welcome to the Real BS Show, where I'm Bill, and over there, 8 feet away from me is
Seth.
Seth.
We're practicing social distancing here.
Yeah, hence the B and the S. What do you want to talk about today? We got to play some nice tunes too.
Right.
But I guess everybody's thinking about the coronavirus. You know, we always say America's number one. Well, guess what? We're number one.
Yes.
We got the most cases of the coronavirus of anybody in the world.
If you believe China.
Yeah, well, that's true. They started it. Now they're hiding their numbers or something.
Yeah.
Well, they're putting all their people back to work.
Yeah.
They're going to start getting out there because we need that medication and all that stuff that they make over there.
Right.
All the generic drugs come from China. Oh, boy. Bat soup. Dang.
Yeah. It's just a little rough. It's rough to think about, you know?
Yeah, I was watching those videos. Oh, man. Something else.
I think we are on a balance between the two paths that we can take. If we keep on shutting down, there's going to be a certain point the essential businesses will not be able to float up without the non-essential. And there's that supply chain that's starting to come back slowly in this country where people are starting to see groceries and stuff fill their stores again. But people are still panicking. So they got that factor in as well going on that people are panicking. And I'm not sure where we're going to head with this. Are we going to reopen? You know, there's that talk that they want to get the government wants to reopen things. But I don't know. It's hard to say where this will go.
Well, where's Walmart get all their stuff? Is all their stuff come from China?
No. Most
paper towels and toilet paper and all that stuff?
Most of the toilet paper and paper towels come from domestic manufacturing.
Well, we got a lot of trees here.
Oh, sure. We sure.
Should make it out of marijuana.
Hemp.
Or hemp.
Yeah, hemp.
Yeah, that grows fast.
Oh, it does. And we could easily just manufacture, you know, a lot of companies are stepping up to the plate and producing ventilators and masks. There's a lot of people 3D printing things. So there's some positive news.
Yeah, where do you get a mask from?
Well, that's a tough one.
I ordered 10 of them on Amazon.
Right.
May 1st. And they kept saying, ship from USA. But the way they said it, you know, it's Chinese or Taiwanese
Or
something. So, but nothing till May 1st. That might be too late.
Right.
I can't make jokes. Hey, by the way, speaking of jokes, did you watch the Senate hearings on this this bill? I mean to tell you. Did you see it?
I saw a little bit of it.
I mean, I was glued to it for 5 days, 6 days maybe.
I fell asleep a few times, too.
Oh, definitely fell asleep. Well, they're never there anyways. It's mostly just you watch these ladies with typewriters hooked to the front of them, and they walk around, and it's like they change positions, and, you know, just hours and hours of nothing. You know, one guy sits up there in a chair, or a lady, the president, I guess you call him. They take turns every half hour, and they make a switch.
Right.
And it just goes on, and I watch those doors on the side. I say, "Oh, somebody's coming." Nothing. Yeah, he's bringing in I don't know. It's just, but when they were there, I mean, have you ever watched Senate or House of Representative live shows before? Now, I know they're boring, very boring, and they just mumble and bumble. But this thing is so critical and so crucial and, you know, all this and that. And it's so, and they started back Saturday or Sunday or, you know, well, before that. How important all this was. And everybody that got up there, I think, read the same speech as the guy before.
Right.
Exact same crap over and over and over. It was just... And some of the people, I think they were drinking Coronas because they were slurring their words and they were...
Right.
The guy from Vermont, not Bernie, but his other half, holy smokes, I was waiting for him to tip over.
Right.
You know, a strong breeze, he wouldn't have been there. Oh, it was just... But what got me the most, of course, they're all right, you know, everybody's right.
Right.
And they're all worried about the American worker. the American workers, the people who built this country, blah, 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 blah. They go on and on with these goofy speeches, you know, one right after the other. It's all the same thing. And then they say, and what really trips the trigger for me is when they say how hard they're working, that they were up to 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock. My head didn't hit the pillow till 4 o'clock in the morning. They wouldn't know work if it hit them on the head.
That's the truth.
I mean, they couldn't bus tables for a day.
I would have to say something.
But blowhards. I mean, you got to be a liar and an actor, and they actually act like they believe what they're saying. And you know that ain't true. They're right. Just trying to get elected again.
Most of their bills that are put forward together are done by interns. And
oh, sure.
Have you ever seen the bill for this? How many pages it was?
What, 2,000 pages or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was literally, who read that? I don't think a single person did.
Well, Pelosi says you don't get to read the bill till you vote on it.
Right.
You know, that's what they're all squawking at Mitch McConnell for not bringing it to the bill to the floor, the one before this, bringing it to the floor that the House passed.
Right.
Well, you know, and I thought, well, geez, I wonder why he's doing that. You look into it, he flat out said, he says, we're not going to vote on something we can't read. Because
right.
They didn't have nothing to look at
until right.
Tuesday, late Tuesday night, so Wednesday. I mean, it... Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But to me, it's disgraceful the way they say they work. So hard, how hard they're working. Some of those people, like I said, they couldn't even wait tables. You know, I mean, it's disgraceful the way they say that. You know, I don't know, it's like they're making fun of the people who really do work, you know.
Right.
I mean, if they had to spend a day in a factory making the same part a million times or anything, driving a truck, baling hay, you know, doing farm, they couldn't do none of that. Also, and then these people are making over $200,000 a year. They have full pensions, full medical. They don't have nothing like what the rest of America has. They're exempt.
Right.
And better than anybody else. And all you need is one term, and you're locked in.
Well, it's the same with those guys that sold the shares of stocks after or right before they had a...
intelligence meeting.
Yeah, intelligence yeah. meeting where they were reassuring.
Back in January.
Yeah. They're like, hey, don't worry, Americans. Everything's going to be fine. And before that, they sold the shares, which is, I consider...
One guy sold his whole... He had he was worth $1.6 million. Every last share he had, he sold.
Yep.
You know, his whole thing he got rid of.
Yep.
Because he knew what was coming.
And, you know, that's technically insider trading. I mean, he knew information he should have been not using that, you know, for
selling. These guys have been doing insider trading for the last 50 years.
Right.
You know, they can see stuff, you know, really big stuff coming before it happens. And they, I mean, there isn't one person in Congress that's not a millionaire.
Right.
They're all millionaires.
If they're not a millionaire by the time they leave, there's something wrong.
Yeah, they're really stupid. You know, look at Bernie. He started, well, of course, he's never had a job in his life. He's always been collecting taxpayers.
Right.
I think he started out as a dog catcher. No, that's too much work. He probably was a mayor.
Right.
I was a mayor once. I know how much work that is. Nothing. Butt kissing, that's what that is. So you can kiss the most butt. I mean, it is ridiculous. From local to state to federal, I just disgusted with it all. Changing my registration to independent.
I will say that when I heard Rand Paul, that's Ron Paul's son, he ended up getting COVID-19.
He got a beat up or something.
Yeah, someone assaulted in his house and it destroyed his lung. Yeah.
Took part of his lung out or something.
Yeah, he got knifed in his own home because someone didn't agree with how he voted on something, and that's kind of disgusting in itself. You know, we're in a federal republic that we vote on things and we vote people in. You shouldn't go around attacking somebody just over something that was minor. And he ended up getting COVID-19, but he's so far asymptomatic, so that's good for him. I've been worried about Ron Paul. You know, he's, you know, getting up there in his years.
90 now?
Yeah, yeah. you know, he's a, in my view, the guy that really kick-started the Liberty Movement in America.
He woke up a lot of people.
Yeah, he woke us up to the reality of the situation and all the ideas that he had and still has. I still agree with a lot of them. I would say most of them. And here we are today, you know, we're spending $2 trillion from a stimulus package from the government, and the Fed's giving $4 trillion. And I'm curious who's going to pay for that, you know?
You know who's going to pay for it? You know, when this coronavirus is over, we're going to have a thing called inflation virus. We're going to be paying $5, $10 for a dozen eggs.
There's debate.
It's going to go crazy. I that's just my opinion. Right, that's right. What I think now. If I could inside trade something to make, you know, make a fortune off of, I would, but I can't.
But you know, the thing is, you know, there's debate whether you're not to pay back the $1,200 each person supposedly going to get.
Yeah, I never heard that. I didn't hear that.
I'm hearing that you might have to, and guess what? That might not be true, but either way, if you don't have to pay your exact $1,200 back, the amount of money, if you were to spend, break it down for each person, the $2 trillion, you're looking at $6,000 per American individual. Don't matter if they're child, infant, adult, elderly, doesn't matter. Each person would have to pay $6,000 back. And nobody's going to do that. They're getting, you know, everyone, you know, certain places are getting bailouts. I'm not getting a bailout, but the cruise industry is going to get a bailout. I'm not sure about that.
Right, right. Well, the cruise industry is owned, they're all set up in other countries, so they don't have to pay taxes. Yeah,
they're flying different flags. And
we're going to bail them out? Right. Okay, all right.
I'm not sure about that. You know, those are things like, okay, the airlines are hurting, but did they really need bailed out? You know, I mean, you said earlier that I think your daughter went on a flight and it was dead. Okay, well, why aren't they grounding planes, you know?
They're grounding their own planes because they ain't got no passengers.
Right, and that's the right thing to do business-wise. But did they need bailed out? I don't know.
I have no idea.
These are things I disagree with, bailouts, you know? Like, it's the same thing with the 2008 housing crisis.
Well, according to this package that they passed, under 500 employees, I think, here's where it gets sticky. I mean, because if you take out that, number one, it's a loan. Everybody takes out loans.
Right.
If you don't lay anybody off, that loan is forgiven. Okay. Now, if you do lay somebody off, then you got to pay it back. Over 500, it's just a loan and you got to pay it back.
Right.
And there's supposedly congressional oversight. Now, that kills me too.
Right.
Congressional oversight to watch where the money goes that Caterpillar or Boeing or whatever gets, and they're going to, so they don't do stock buybacks and, you know, run up their stock prices like they did last time. And they're going to, if you got an itch, is that coronavirus?
I don't know. Yeah. You know, I look at, you know, I'm going to speak on something that probably will upset a few people, but I was in the military, so were you, and you saw the waste that went on. The bureaucracy added to the waste beyond measure too. So not only were individuals wasting things and causing waste, but the bureaucracy added its own waste. Probably 70% of all the waste was from that bureaucracy, in my view at least. When I see reports come out that $1 trillion were lost in the Pentagon, and I hear about government oversight, I'm sitting there thinking, where was the oversight when that went down, that $1 trillion since the start of the Afghanistan war were lost? And I sit there and think, now we have $2 trillion being pumped out into the economy, and where is it going? Most of the Americans aren't seeing that money. It's only adults. They're going to see $1,200.
Well, kids, dependent kids will get $500.
Oh, wow. Isn't that so grand?
But hey, I'll take it. You know, but like I say, inflation. Nothing's free. So no. something, somewhere, somehow, it's all going to come screaming back. And it's like I said, $10 for a dozen eggs. Who knows? Inflation to me is going to go crazy. Sooner or later, it's got to go.
It already has, in some ways. You factor in that prices will go up with supply and demand. So prices, if there's less supply and there's high demand, the prices will go up. That's natural. Adam Smith figured that out 400 years ago. And here we are today. If you flood the market with money, it deflates, it inflates the money and deflates the value.
Yeah, the value's gone down. Well, you know who's going to grab most of it is the hospitals.
Sure.
Medical people, drug companies. I don't know what's coming, and I'll be the first one to tell you that. But boy, when I saw those senators for 5 days, the same crap over and over, and how much they cared, and how much speed, and how much we have to pass this bill. It's emergency, blah blah blah. 5 days. I mean. And they were trying to vote what they call closure.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know what that is, but that means they're going to close the arguments and then argue about the bill itself and vote on the bill.
Right.
But first they got to do this closure thing.
Right.
They couldn't agree on that.
No.
And everything was emergency. One person after the next, what an emergency it was. How we got to move with speed and... Unbelievable. Just think, what if it was an emergency?
Right.
Holy smokes. And then you know, I keep hearing these things, the same day voter registration, and the Democrats want to run the board, or the...
adding people to the board for corporations. The
corporations. Yeah.
They wanted workers on there.
Make sure that they're evenly represented or some, I don't know.
When you start getting into that, that's where they're trying to add riders to something that isn't an emergency situation. So that's an agenda that's going into kind of scummy, in my opinion. Those are kind of separate bills. This is why I think in our country we need line item bills and, you know, vote by line item. And then that would resolve a lot of issues. You know, imagine that.
I mean, the president could line item veto.
Well, not just that, but even senators and representatives could vote each line.
Brother.
And so
they'd be 2 years on a minimum wage.
Oh, no. What you do is you know, you hand them the bill and it's like multiple choice. You go through and you it's like in school. They do this in school with tests, right? You have this
multiple
paper.
Multiple guess, you mean.
You have to use a pencil to fill in the circle.
Yeah.
And you vote for each
That's
each
too much
one.
Work.
Oh, I know. But see, imagine this. We wouldn't have all these riders on there that they can throw on there and just tack on things. And try to use a emergency situation to put their pet project in. Yeah. I say that for both sides. In my view, both sides will do pet projects and line item vetoes for each representative and senator to be able to do. It would resolve a lot. And they would actually have to compromise with each other. They would have to actually discuss things.
I watched, and you knew right away who was Democrat and who was Republican. That was no problem.
Right.
So I was kind of keeping score, and I'll tell you what, the most dumbest, stupidest, goofiest, useless people that I saw, most of them were Democrats. I got to say that. I don't give a rat's rear for either one of them, but I mean, Ted Cruz, I mean, he's getting right up there with Slimy. I mean, he put on 200 pounds or something. He couldn't even button his jacket shut, and he didn't shave for a long time, and he's up there. He's worried about making $25 on unemployment, $25 an hour on unemployment, while you're making $15 working.
Right.
He said, "Well, who wants to work at that if you can make $25?" And they're right, but they're the ones that wrote the bill.
Right.
So what are you crying about? You know.
Right. Right.
So the worker's going to make a few extra bucks, but then again, the small business guy can't lay people off, because if they do,
right,
boom, they're. Their worker will get the $25 an hour.
Right.
And they're going to have to pay back whatever loan they got.
Right.
Which maybe they applied for a loan, maybe they didn't. So,
right.
It's a real jumbled up mess. It really is.
With the corporation one where they were going to require workers being on the board for companies to make it more fair and balanced, I was sitting there thinking, when I heard that, that proposal – and I guess thankfully it didn't get into the bill. But when I heard it, I was thinking, what does a worker that's, let's say, flipping a burger at McDonald's has a, even a clue how to run a corporation, such as McDonald's that's international. They have such a myopic view, and it's no criticism to anybody that's working at McDonald's flipping a burger. The point is you don't know how to run a corporation, and that requires a certain skill set and experience that they lack.
And lots of hard work.
Yeah, and lots of, there's a difference between physical labor and mental labor.
Smart, yeah.
Right, and I would say that competence is not just intelligence. Competence is different. I want competent people to be on a board. I don't want incompetent people to be on a board, because incompetent people will screw up a company. It's the same thing with a nonprofit or any
incompetent people screw up government too.
Right. Right.
That's happened a lot.
And that's, I say the same thing about, I don't care what gender somebody is. I don't care what race or religion. I want competent people in Congress. I don't care if what color they are or what religion they are. If they're competent, vote them in. You know, that's my mentality. But some reason we have to have this quota, which is racist in my opinion, is having a quota of this many people. How about you just let the let merit work and have competent people voted in? People will vote who they want to vote in, you know?
I know. It's I don't know. The colleges, they have zones or rooms that, what do you call them?
Safe spaces?
Safe zones or safe spaces.
What the heck?
What kind of a mamsy pamsy bunch of crap? You know, I mean,
that's under postmodernism.
Where are we headed? You know, geez, oh man.
But see, that happened in the 90s too, Bill. See, that's what people tend to forget, is it reared its head up in the 90s, and that's under, I would call that postmodernism. And you can research postmodernism. They basically believe there's no value in hierarchies. They don't believe in hierarchies, and they don't believe that things have more value than others. I'm paraphrasing. It's a little bit more complex than that, but I don't want to go into all this philosophy right now.
Yeah. Well, you lose me in a minute.
So basically they don't think there's anything of value. So your view and my view are both equal, but that's not true. You have more years of experience than I do, but there's things I might have experience in that you don't. So the things I have experience in might have value to you. But the postmodernist doesn't see that. They just think that everyone's equal. There's no difference between people.
It sounds like, what was that book I read a long time ago? Atlas Shrugged.
Yep, yes.
Holy cat.
Very good book there, by the way.
Yeah, it was. It was an eye-opener for me.
Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand, yeah. There's a lot of people criticize her, too. But you know what? The bottom line is government cannot do everything. They can't take over and run it.
Right.
You know, just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And let's play a nice song.
Okay.
What was it? Three Doors Down. I don't know where the Three Doors come from, but there's one guy.
It's a band, yeah.
Well, one guy playing a guitar and singing.
It's a band. They have a whole
band. Is
it? Yeah.
Okay, well, the song was really nice. Try to get my friend over there in Philadelphia, Gary Taylor, to learn the song, play it.
Right.
Do you have that on? I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I got it here.
Something. It's kind of a love song or whatever, but it's just real pleasant.
Here Without You.
Here Without, that sounds good. We got to save that one for the end. What was that? What was that one thing? Life is too short or something?
If life is too short?
Yeah. So we'll save that for the last.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's play a song and cool me down. I got to get a drink of water, cold water.
Okay.
Okay.
100 days have made me older since the last time that I saw your pretty face. 1,000 lies have made me colder, and I don't think I can look at this the same. All the miles that separate disappear now when I'm dreaming of your face. I'm here without you, baby, but you're still on my lonely mind. I think about you, baby, and I dream about you all the time. I'm here without you, baby, It's only you and me. Just keep rolling as the people leave their way to say hello. I've heard this life is overrated, but I hope that it gets better as we go. Oh yeah, yeah. I'm here without you, baby, but you're still on my lonely mind. I think about you, baby, and I dream about you all the time. I'm here without you, baby, but you're still with me in my dreams. And tonight, it's only you and me. It's hard, but it won't take away my love. And when the last one falls, when it's all said and done, it gets hard, but it won't take away my love. Whoa.
Yes, for sure. You're back with the real BS show, the Bill and Seth show.
That's right.
We are beautiful back. Song, huh?
Beautiful song, yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry I kind of went off a little on the deep end there.
We have to
with
go on the deep
senators.
End.
Well, you know, if you want my opinion, they're all a bunch of liars, actors, and they're bad at it.
Right.
Terrible,
right.
Bad at
right.
it.
Right.
We need some Clint Eastwood or some Tom Cruise or some people, you know. People that at least actors, you know what I mean?
Right.
They're lying and they know it and they don't care.
Or just speaking a mouthpiece, you know?
These people are just the worst. I mean, how in the world do these people get elected?
Yeah.
You know, Bernie Sanders has never worked a job in his life. He's been taking taxpayer money his whole life.
That's why I always was...
He didn't know any difference.
I was drawn to Ron Paul because, you know, he had a lot of experience working as a doctor... And his son as well. You know, they all have worked.
They produce something. You know, they actually make something, actually provide something. And I think what got me started is, you know, when I first heard this thing where every man, woman, and child in this country is getting a check. $1,200, kids
right.
get $500.
Right.
Everybody gets a check. I said, what?
If you add up the amounts, it's still not enough. You know, the $2 trillion is roughly between $6,000 to $8,000 per person. That's a debt added on top of everything, and we already have $22 trillion in debt. So
what's a few more trillion?
Yeah,
what the heck? What's
you know,
a trillion?
Just raise the debt ceiling. It's not a problem.
Oh,
you know,
it's amazing. Simply amazing.
And then the quantitative easing is just. That's going on, and if you don't know what that is, I'll just say Google it. It's to me the worst part about this issue is when they quantum easing
quantitative easing.
Easing. I'm having a hard time with that word, but that I'm having a hard time with the concept. Why is that being allowed?
It's a way for the 12 or 15 big banks that are the Federal Reserve to collect more interest without doing anything.
Where we could be heading towards, and I'm not saying we are, we could be like Germany and have negative interest rates going on.
Well, that'll happen soon enough.
And that's,
Japan's the same way.
Yeah, there's a concern there when you start hearing negative interest rates. That means don't be saving money. You better be spending it. You know, that's what they want. And I think that's a concern heading forward because they – you know, there's nothing wrong with being a consumer, but, you know, what if you want to save your money? Well, they're going to penalize those that want to save money.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't have any better answers. You know what I mean? What these people are doing, they know what they're doing and they're doing the right things, but I hardly doubt it, you know, but that's just my opinion. And I don't have a better solution.
Well,
you know, survival of the fittest, that's the only thing I know. Do everybody right. Work for yourself. If right. You can't, then you're...
Well, I think that's what we said in the beginning is, you know, there's some people relying on the government to do something, and I am the type to say, don't rely on the government to do something yourself. And if you're immunocompromised or have a health risk, a pre-existing condition, don't rely on the government to protect you. You got to protect yourself, you know, and it's not about being paranoid. It's about being careful. I look at those kind of situations that's the solution to this is you as an individual have to stand up and take care of yourself.
Well, I looked at this $1,200 and so right away I said, well, what am I going to do with $1,200?
Right.
I don't know. Right. I don't need anything. I've right. Got everything. What am I going to do? Buy more Coca-Cola? buy two dozen cases of Coke.
Right, right.
I don't know. You know, I don't need it. You know, I'm fine.
Talking about corruption.
Now, I'm sure a lot of people aren't fine, and they, you know.
Well, I'm sure there's people that could use it. The only problem is there's going to be a cost to that, and that has to be factored in as well.
Yeah, called inflation. I'm telling you, that's...
Or payback. You have to pay it back. That's a possibility.
I never heard that. I didn't hear that. The whole 5-6 days I was listening, never heard that.
Not maybe immediately direct payback, but I'm talking about indirect payback at the minimum because
inflation is the big killer. Right. It's gonna, you know, it's right. A big tax we're all gonna pay.
We are being taxed by inflation. If you want to be technical, you know, each time the dollar loses value, you know, look at since 1908, that, you know, $1 today would have bought you
2 cents.
$1 today would have bought you probably $18 back then in 1908. So obviously there's the devalue of the dollar going down.
Yeah. Well, but it's not worth anything. It's just not worth. There's no gold behind it, no silver, nothing.
Right.
It's just a piece of paper.
The one thing I want to talk about corruption.
It's not even paper anymore. It's all numbers in a
right
in a bank debit card.
There was a proposal too in this $2 trillion stimulus package to make a digital wallet, which means instead of having a bank account with digital numbers, they were pushing to have a wallet or bank account through the Federal Reserve, and that they could put digital money into it, and that basically would have made U.S.
Well, if they can put it in, they can take it out,
right? Or they see how much you have, but. There's other things. Let's talk about the state for a second, the corruption in the state. You know, I'm not going to sit there and say it is the truth, but there's too much weirdness going on when the state government, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, issues out what businesses can stay open and what they deem as essential or non-essential businesses, life-sustaining businesses. There was a tie with...
Now, when you talk about essential, where did the beer distributors fall in?
They consider that beer distributor essential because...
Essential?
Yeah. Well, there's some medical reasoning behind that. If you're an alcoholic, let's say, and you don't have beer, you could die from not getting alcohol. Being cut off clean.
There you go. You gotta stay open.
So there's. I'm not condoning drinking. I'm just, you know,
making it right up there with food. Huh?
That's the medical, from my understanding, the medical need for having alcohol open. And hey, you know, sometimes they're tough times. You know, you're at home. You might want to have a beer. There's nothing wrong with that. You know.
So what about like car parts and?
That's essential. Yeah.
Essential.
Oh
is
yeah.
It?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mechanics are essential.
Yeah.
Car dealerships not buying new cars is not essential. They originally put out the essential list versus non-essential, and there was a lot of ones they had to revise because they made the mistake of assuming that lawyers were not essential, but yet cases are still going on. So they had to come back and revise that.
I'm sure those judges don't mind taking 4 or 5 months off.
No. But
they'll shelter at home, no problem.
But see, then even there was aspects of different business functions that were like originally deemed not essential and they came back later. You can go back and read those lists. But here's the thing that got me. Governor Wolf of Pennsylvania originally had a kitchen cabinet company.
In Delaware?
No, in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah. And it was deemed on this list essential.
Essential?
Now, yeah. But see, here's the thing. I'm not sure where...
Well, he's the governor. He's essential.
So, but here's the fact I have to make clear. So this is like not biased or coming off as biased. He supposedly deinvested his ownership of the company when he became governor in 2015.
He gave it to his kids?
No, he gave it to an investment company that supposedly sold off his shares. And so he didn't have any, let's say, ownership of it anymore, supposedly, and didn't have any money coming from it. So since 2015, that's what we were told. Now, whether that's true or not, hey, you know, corruption happens. I'm not saying he's corrupt. I don't know the man. I don't know his personal life and how his moral compass. But,
well, when you seen him on TV and his lips were moving,
yeah,
he's lying. Well, that's the first clue right there.
But my problem is with this, his former business, it was left on the essential list. And I thought that was a very interesting thing. How did that governor think that, how does the governor of Pennsylvania think that a cabinet making company is essential? And that was an interesting aspect. So I'll give it to him that he did probably deinvest, but maybe he doesn't fully have separate ties from it because that's a little suspicious. And it's okay for us to be skeptical. I think it's wise to be skeptical in a healthy manner to keep our government in check. We don't need corruption. We have to remember that in Pennsylvania, there was judges that were making money off of kids going to jail. So we have to remember that does happen. It's not a fake story.
Oh, no. You're going to burst my bubble. These people were pure.
It's human. Humans are potential for corruption is very, especially as you grow up in the ranks of hierarchies, you know, you tend to lean that way.
Well, my dad told me a long time ago when I was little, he said, there isn't one person on this planet that isn't a liar.
Yeah, or pure. You know, there's no one pure.
There's no one here in this planet that hasn't lied at least once. Probably a lot.
In my field it's not just programming, but it's also catching out people that are lying and corrupt. So there's a lot of logging, a lot of checking and balancing going on.
Security,
but it's mostly employees not lying, checking to make sure they're not lying or trying to deceive the system. And other things. I won't go into all of it, but that's something that's always been in me ingrained is to not catch other people lying, but to not see money wasted or time wasted or lives wasted. And when I see things like that, I'm a little skeptical on it. I'm not saying that Governor Wolf directly was making money off of this downturn, but just a little suspect that, you know, his former business was exempt from it. The other part, there was a senator, I don't remember the name, but his business or her business was left open as well, deemed essential. The other part that was interesting for non-essential businesses to get a waiver, the government of Pennsylvania could not detail what the requirements were. They couldn't sit there and tell you what the credentials were to be deemed essential. And I'm sitting there thinking the waiver is online. You can go fill it out, but they can't tell you if it's they can't tell you the process.
You don't know whether you should lie or not.
Right. And so
how are you supposed to know how to fill it out if you don't know what to...
Yeah, and so I'm a little like, you know, when these kind of things happen, I'm like, okay, there's a lot of people falling through that are deemed essential that are not. And if they really truly mean to put a crackdown on a lockdown on non-essential businesses, they should at least have a detailed process of what is deemed important or not. See, this is where I'm skeptical on things. Like, this whole thing is a joke to me, you know?
Well, Governor Wolf, his businesses were all incorporated in Delaware where
yeah.
taxes
right.
were lower.
Right.
That right there, I wasn't voting for him right there.
Right.
Boom, that was enough. I'd vote for Corbett. I think it was Corbett
yeah.
we were running against
yeah.
him. And
a lot of people liked Ridge when he was a governor. You know, he made a mess up when he said the thing about the duct tape when he was a Homeland the director of Homeland Security. But hey, yeah. hey,
you he's from Erie.
See,
what the heck?
So, yeah, see, you have to say though, people went out and bought duct tape so much that they ran out and had to manufacture. They had to actually hire more employees to make the duct tape. When Ridge said that as the director of Homeland Security,
he probably owned a lot of stock in that.
You never know. Maybe he did. You know, I mean, but duct tape. You know, like, hey, who would have thought? But see, this is the kind of thing. Again, we're going back to when they make public announcements, getting on TV, and the government starts talking about what Americans should do, and. I go back to it. I remember that when Tom Ridge gets on there and starts talking about duct tape and plastic your windows so you prevent any biological or chemical warfare. And so that panic, people believed it. They didn't think logically or critically of it. They just believed it and just went with it. But see, at the time, people were afraid. Reasoning and logic goes out the window. And this time, you know, if you wash your hands, you keep away from people, you know, more than 6 feet, you're not taking kids around older people and transmitting, you know, the potential virus because many kids are asymptomatic. Over 80% are asymptomatic. No symptoms, nothing.
Silent killer. Huh?
Yeah. And so when the government gets on, it's
hard to find if you're, especially if you're young.
That's what I'm saying. You know, we don't need to rely on the government to calm us. We need to rely on ourselves to just be prepared, you know?
Yeah, if I see, I don't know, it this last 5-6 days of watching these senators was just appalling. Just appalling. They kept saying the Senate will resume, you know, at 1 o'clock. Well, 1 o'clock comes around, nobody's there. 2 o'clock, nobody's there. 3 o'clock. It goes on clear till about 6 o'clock, and then some old fart gets up there and is talking about his uncle that owns a restaurant and how bad he's doing, and then that's the end of it. And then you don't hear nothing from him until 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
What? I mean, oh, we've just been working so, oh, you know, there ought to be, they ought to get arrested for saying that. I mean, it is just, it's so deflammatory to the real people in this country
right.
that do work. And I don't care if you're working at McDonald's or you're, you know, it. I don't care what you do. You're a farmer. You.
How about the doctors and nurses and first responders and police and firemen?
People that actually move around and do something, sweat once in a while.
They're dealing with this virus firsthand, and I'm sure the risk is at hand to them. And they're the first ones to recognize that if we don't cut the curve, that the healthcare system in any country, like in Catalonia, where they were freaking out that they wouldn't be able to handle this is in Spain. They were freaked out that they couldn't handle it. And they have universal healthcare there. They couldn't handle the load.
They're already loaded up.
Yeah, I mean, their hospitals were filled with people that had respiratory issues. And here we are. And now there's a case in Spain where they supposedly let older people die. Because they had pre-existing conditions and they were smokers. And so,
well,
and they're old.
Tough luck.
Yeah.
You
know, see you later. They close the curtain. And it's like, you know, I'm not saying, but that happened. It happened. And I'm not saying, though, that it was on purpose, but, you know, this stuff happens in Spain. And we have to say it, you know, it's like.
Well, they're not going to be voters long anyway.
No.
So. You know, who cares?
But see, this is the thing that the healthcare system so overloaded they had to, like, prioritize. This person can't be taken care of. We have to focus on these other ones. And this is the potential to happen in the United States if we don't cut the curve, if we don't stay at home, if we don't do these things. So that's on the table. But at the same time, on the flip side of if the hospitals get overloaded and the medical industry, the medical field can't handle it, the other flip side is the economy is going to hurt so bad that the essential businesses that are open still won't be able to function. So we have these two battles going on. But you have to have a balance between the two, because if one tips too far to the other side, it's going to hurt the other. And so they are tied to a string to each other, and we don't want that string to break.
Well, that's what government is doing right now. $2 trillion, and they're just handing out money like it's candy.
Right.
You're offsetting the balance right there.
Right.
And nobody's talking about what's the effect of all this.
There's some.
What's going to be the effect? And nobody's watching to see what's going to happen. You know, I haven't heard anybody say anything. You know, all these physical conservatives and all that, I haven't heard one of them say anything.
My view is, honestly, yeah, some Americans are hurting, some business owners are hurting, but...
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
But at the end of the day, at the minimum, we shouldn't be bailing out the cruise industry or the airlines. I think that's kind of a weird thing. I'm against the stimulus package as a whole. I think if we... worked it out a different way.
Well, I like the part where they give me $1,200.
I see that even and still think it's like, where's that money coming from out of the thin air? You know, they're
really sure it is. They've been doing that for a long time.
But at the minimum, why are we bailing out these industries that should be solvent themselves? I know, you know, I'll give the airlines this. They are on very thin profit margins. I'll give them that.
I have no idea.
See, airlines, they're down to, they're not making the bank people think they are. They're barely fixing their planes. They're barely fueling their planes. And then they're barely paying their staff.
Fixing their planes is rather important. Of course, I ain't flying no more anyways. I never, ever again will I get on an airplane.
Well, I'll give this.
Never.
You know how you get a car inspection done on your car yearly?
Yeah, right.
Well, in airlines, they do an inspection every day before they fly.
Well, good.
So there's the standard for airlines is much higher than cars.
I hope they inspect the airlines better than they inspect the cars. Jeez.
But here's this one. You know, imagine this. Let's say in the future when we have self-driving cars. You know, you're driving around. You don't have to drive anymore. You don't have to unless you want to. And the insurance rate's so low. Heck, you don't even need to own the car anymore. It's publicly shared, like Uber or some taxi company. They push out their own cars, and you push a button on your phone, and the car comes to your house. You get into it, go do your things, and come back home. You don't have to have a car anymore. Or you can choose to have one, have higher insurance rates because of it. But what if there's a virus that breaks down?
Cars?
A virus that hits, an actual virus like this, the coronavirus, hits again. Imagine having to clean all those cars. And you know, all that, like the public transportation in Europe almost went to a halt in many places. And in most countries in Europe stopped completely because it's a virus contagion.
Yeah.
All those trams, all those trains, all those subways, they all had to stop.
Well, do what England did and just close down some of them, not all of them.
Right.
And then everybody loads up on the ones that are still running.
Right. And see, that's something...
Really packed in then.
That's where I don't have the solution to that. Now, the stimulus package stuff, I think it's stupid, and my solution is not to do it. But the other one is this other transportation stuff. I don't know the answers to that. That's beyond me because people do need to get to work. They don't have a car.
Well, follow the money. It's all about money.
Sure. And
whatever makes money, that's what's going to happen.
Sure.
Plus, trust me on that one.
I do think that we do need to get back to work. It's just I don't know when. That's the other problem.
I think these senators ought to take, number one, take a drug test. Number two, they should all take a drug test. Number two, they should check them for alcohol abuse.
Right.
Because there's no doubt whatsoever that some of them are drinking way too much.
Right.
And when they get up there and slobber on TV like that, well, the whole world's watching. There's something wrong. Wrong.
Yeah.
And they got to take a physical. If you're not healthy,
right.
You know, I mean, they're talking about electing Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, I mean, give me a break.
The man's a
mental deficient.
Or Bernie Sanders, who is quite old.
Well, you know.
He's the oldest one of the candidates
right
now.
Yeah, but at least he's still got some spark left in him.
Maybe.
You know?
I don't know.
Well, he just did have a heart attack or something.
That's true. Yeah, he's very physically fit, you know.
Yeah, my appreciation of this Congress and the Senate has just gone through the floor. I mean, how these people, and you know what? I think it's us people that elect them.
Yeah.
That's whose fault it is. How stupid can we be? Of course, they got the system shaved down where you ain't got a choice.
Well, that's the, you know, what, the problem.
You're going to pick Bob Casey or somebody else? Bob Casey. Yeah. Ever see him talk?
It's a pile of crap versus a pile of crap.
Holy smokes.
It's a pile of crap versus a pile of crap with glass. You have to pick your poison. And in my view, we need to get rid of what's called first past the post. And we go to what's called rank order voting. So you would basically say there's five candidates and you choose them in the rank order you want. So your first one, that your first pick would be number one. Your second pick would be number two. And so therefore, even if you, that way, if you don't like number five or number six.
Yeah, but how do you get on the list?
You end up getting on a ballot. That's what you do.
So how do you do that?
That's a struggle right
now.
See,
that's where they got you. They got you. You know, you need 250,000 signatures to get on the ballot.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
You know? In each state.
So then you got to bribe and pander to all kinds of people to get signatures.
You know, there's a push for some people to go to internet voting, and I'm against that. I'm a programmer. And I will say right now, that's the most insecure thing to ever do. You know, they sit there and, you know,
I'm some 14-year-old will be elected our next president.
People are saying that the Russians hacked the election. They did not hack the election. They just put out ads on Facebook that they paid for to Facebook, and people liked those ads.
Well, that's the American way.
Is that right? But here's the point. If we do what's called internet voting, where you vote on the internet, our elections will be hacked. There's a difference between they did not get it hacked in 2016. They put out ads and people liked those ads. And they, guess what? They just didn't do it to Trump either. They also did it to Bernie Sanders, the Russians did.
Yeah.
So they were promoting up Bernie Sanders, Black Lives Matters, and also Trump. And guess what they were trying to do? The Russians were trying to cause division in this country, and look what they did.
They didn't have to spend any money to do that. Built into our system.
They had two campaigns, one that was pro gun versus one that was anti-gun, and they had these leaders that were leading these each group. And their names were on there, leading these groups, getting people riled up for the rallies. And when people went to these rallies, they couldn't find these people. That's because they were in Moscow. And
drinking vodka.
Yeah. They're sitting there enjoying this view, and nobody's there to tell them
what to
do.
That's why there's no coronavirus in Russia. They're all drinking vodka.
I think they're lying.
Well, if alcohol kills these viruses and stuff, why don't they just inject everybody with alcohol?
Right. I don't know about that, Bill.
No, well, that's my solution. I doubt we'd probably all be dead.
Right. And then we can talk about China lying about their numbers. You know, we surpassed them.
They started this mess. Who cares anymore?
This market, they... And this
so is, they keep Walmart supplied. Everybody in America will be happy.
But here's a point that I want to make. Whenever there's something that goes wrong in China and the Chinese federal government, the CCP, comes down, they'll crack down on this thing that's wrong, that they deem wrong. But then a month later...
For a little while, yeah.
Yeah, for a little while. Then a month later, it's back to, again, business as normal. And they don't really crack down long term, because the reality is they know that people will revolt. They'll riot.
Yeah. Well, it's just like a drug dealer, you know? I mean, you're not allowed to do that, and then they move to somewhere else, and it just, you know... Alcohol, well, of course, then they made it legal, so then that cured everything.
One of the things I kind of agree with... is China made people go back to work. And the reason being is because that potential for the mob to riot is very high. And we could see that in the United States as well. That not just, you know, yes, there's worry about people getting more sick from this. And not many people are going to die. There's like, you factor in, yes, it's tragic that how many we've lost so far. It's very tragic, and I feel and
you know, we got to mention the numbers,
right,
too, because I was listening last week. We said it was 260,000 worldwide,
right,
and right about now it's 590 or something.
Right.
590,000.
Right.
So that is more than double a week.
Right.
At astronomical numbers. Now, maybe that's more testing. Maybe what?
It's more testing.
But America is number one again.
Yeah. So right now, the number as of today is the 27th of March at 4:07. It is 588,959 cases. And that's including the recovered cases. The deaths is 26,928. That's worldwide. In the U.S., we're looking at over 100,037 cases. 100,000
really?
Cases. 100,000 cases, yep. Deaths, we're looking at 1,536 deaths. And that's tragic. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the numbers are showing, yes, there's some young people dying, but it's not as much as they originally predicted in the United States. It's something like majority of them are over 80. That's where most of the deaths are coming. And they have pre-existing conditions. They either smoked their whole life or they have heart attacks, overweight. Those kind of things are setting people up.
We got to save Social Security anyway, so if we just knock off all the old people, they won't get checks no more.
But this is one of the things that one of the immunologists that was talking about that I really enjoyed.
Shut up. I'm in that category.
One of the immunologists was talking about how you could take, because healthcare workers are getting this and getting sick themselves, but many are recovering. So there was a study done.
Don't take no Advil.
Right.
I heard that. They said that Advil just supercharges this coronavirus.
So
if you got any stock in Advil, get rid of it.
So what I was hearing was they were worried about, can you get sick from this strain of coronavirus again? And they did a study on the two strains that are going around and found that people that recovered do not get sick to the two different, the L and S strains of this SARS-CoV-2 virus. So what they're proposing is, these immunologists, is that they should go out, these people that already have recovered, and go work in the healthcare industry taking care of the severely ill.
Well, that sounds communistic. You're telling them what to do?
Well, not telling what to do, like healthcare workers. They're already healthcare workers and they're recovered.
Oh, well,
so
then, yeah.
They should be the ones that are working with the most ill. So that way they're not spreading it to other people. And I think that's it's a wise choice. It's allowing people to not be exposed to the virus if they have it.
They don't have to wear a mask, is what you're saying.
Yeah, probably not. we'll give some numbers here. New York, as of today, has 44,810 new cases. And 519 deaths, and 53 of them are new. That's a lot.
One day.
And they're basically the epicenter of this virus. At one certain point here, they're going to, New York itself is going to be Italy. It's going to be China. Pennsylvania is down lower. We're only at, hate saying that. We're at 2,218 cases and 22
deaths.
Well,
that shot up fast.
Yeah, it did.
Holy cow.
But, you know, I'm going to look at some numbers here for the world. And one that gets me is, okay, U.S. is at 100,037. Italy is at 86,500, we'll say. China hasn't budged barely. They're only at 81,000.
For the last 2 weeks.
2 months. They have lied.
Really?
Yeah. No. I mean, if you look at their track record, it's flatlined. And I'll pull it up here. Spain is still skyrocketing. They're in some dire straits there. Let's see here. Well, I'm going to show the graph here. I'm going to look at the graph. They, of course, people can't see this, but I'm looking at it. See that? That's what they're.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. It's curved up and it just drops down. And I just don't believe
they've conquered the disease.
Right.
Whatever they're doing,
they were only closed for 2 weeks, and the virus is still spreading around there, and they're having cases constantly. I can't believe that they shut down for only 2 weeks, and it's back up again. They opened up very quickly. They pushed people to work. Yeah. It was right after the Chinese New Year this happened, so people were traveling. The virus is probably more than what it is. And they shut down in the middle of the Chinese New Year. So people, in China, there's a lot of people that will live in the city and then for the Chinese New Year go back to their home where they're originally from. And so for 2 weeks, people were locked down in their places of home, but not the city they're from. So to say that then they had to go back to work, so that meant they had to go back to the cities. And so this is where it gets confusing. I don't see how they only had 80-some thousand people. They should have had a lot more.
81,000.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We should play another song. Let's play another pretty song.
Okay.
And give everybody a rest.
All right.
They're tired of listening to us.
Right.
Okay. Pretty song number two.
Why'd you have to leave so soon, yeah? Why'd you have to go? And why'd you have to leave me when I needed you the most? 'Cause I don't really know how to tell you without feeling much worse. I know you're in a better place, but it's always gonna hurt. Carry on, give me all the strength I need to carry on. Tell you all about it when I see you again. 'Cause we've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. Without you, when I'm feeling so cold, and I'll be waiting right here for you till the day you're going home. Carry on, and give me all the strength I need to carry on. Yeah, yeah. So let the light guide your way. Hold every memory as you go. You, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. 'Cause we've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you.
Show nothing but the real BS
where the BS hits the ground.
Hey, I'm sorry, I flipped my wig over. These stupid congressmen, I tell you, that's it gives you no, and it's so disrespectful to the people that actually do the work in this country.
Right.
The people, I don't care if you're waiting tables. I mean, those idiots couldn't do that if they, life depended on it.
And we want to thank the doctors and the nurses and the first responders and all the police out there.
Yeah, Ann over there in Philadelphia, by Philadelphia. Yeah, I mean, they're the ones that, when people are actually doing something, you know what I mean?
Right.
Working and doing, they're in a tough spot. Of course, you know, they're probably in a tough spot all the time.
Oh, sure.
Not just this one, but I mean, you know, there's other things that that put them on a spot like that.
And all the people that have lost family members or anyone that has cases that are active, you know, we feel your sympathy, that's for sure. You know?
Yeah, well, whatever, you know, if I got any advice for anybody, do not watch the House of Representatives live or the Senate live, because you'll throw up, you'll get sick, and you'll want to shoot somebody. I mean, it is awful. It is just downright awful what's going on. I mean, and these people got the best health care, the best pension plans. They get paid a fortune. It just is so sad. Sad, sad, sad. And I'm sure they do something, but whatever it is, it ain't much.
Right.
They all got the same speech. They all, you know, the same one guy can write speeches for every last one of them because they all come out the same.
Right.
Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Amendment 28. Remember that. Look it up.
Right.
Google it. Amendment 28. That needs to be passed, and of course, they are the ones they got the market cornered on that.
And
stuff,
the states have to pass it as well.
Yeah, they have to. They have to have so many states out of the 50 to get it to constitutional amendment or something.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just frustrating. You know, it's bad enough that this sickness, and I swear it's China did it. You know, it came from China.
I wouldn't say it's a bioweapon, but I think it's something that came out. There's some people that are like, oh, it's a bioweapon, and we talked about that in previous episodes. But definitely it's something that, you know, hey, bats are contagions. They're full of viruses. They're full of
bats and snakes.
Yeah, I mean, we're immune to those things where bats are exposed to them all the time, and they're huddling all the time together in
they
dark
like,
places.
They like rabies. You yeah. know? They enjoy rabies, you know.
Right.
And it kills us.
Right.
Well, on that happy note, we should play, what's that one song we had, Life is Short, or Life's Too
right.
Short or something?
Yeah.
Let's end with that.
Okay.
Okay, folks, thank you for listening to us babble and me rant
and
about this.
And stay safe.
Terrible, terrible disease we got called Congress. Oh, unbelievable. But yeah, stay safe, stay away from everybody, and you know, only do like I said, like, well, you said the same thing. I mean, nothing's changed for me.
No,
I sit out there on my porch or sit out, I'm out in the woods, I go chop wood, and I don't bother nobody.
Right.
And I got enough stuff piled up now that I could be out there for a year or better.
Right. I'm prepared. You know, I've been prepared for this kind of thing. It's not that I'm like a prepper, per se, but I've always had an extra stock of things. And
well, it's your lifestyle, too. If you don't have to, you know, wine and dine and drink $100 bottles of wine and,
right.
you know, go here and there and, you know, just what's necessary, you know? You kind of fine-tune your life to be comfortable.
Right.
Just do what try to be happy.
Yeah. Boom. Basic needs are met. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? We're all different.
That's right.
So life is short. Let's hear that.
One, two, three, four. Isn't it funny how time seems to slip away so fast? One minute you're happy, the other you're sad. But if you give me one more chance to show my love for you, it's true. I'll stand by your side your whole life through. If life is so short, why won't you let me love you before we run out of time? If love is so strong, why won't you take the chance before our time has come? If life is so short, if life is so short, love is a word that explains how I feel. Crying out for you to be with me. If life is so short, why won't you let me love you before we run out? Would you take the chance before our time has come? If life is so short, if life is so short. Explains how I feel for you. And when you're in my arms, all my dreams come true. And when you're not around, you can't hardly see. These tears that I'm crying now are for you to be with me. If life is so short, won't you let me love you before we run out of time? If love is so strong, won't you take the chance before our time has come? If life is so short, if life is so short. Oh, yeah. If life is so short.